Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We need to be spiritually hungry. So important to be spiritually hungry. We started talking about it last week. We're going to talk a little bit more about it today. But spiritual hunger is necessary if we're going to grow up spiritually. It's very necessary if we're going to grow up spiritually, because if you're not very hungry, you're not going to eat very much. And God's word, God's food is likened to food and water, food and drink. And so if we're not very hungry, we're not going to eat or drink very much. If we don't eat or drink very much, well, how many people know you're not going to grow very much? Can I get a witness? Can I? You're not going to grow very much. But we all want to grow. So we got to be hungry. That's how important it is to be hungry. Hungry also, being hungry for God also keeps us on track with God's plan for our life. How many want to stay on track with God's plan for your life? Hunger will help you to do that. Why? Because it keeps you focused on being where he is. You're hungry for him. You're looking for him. You want him. And so it keeps you focused on where he is, and you want to follow him wherever he goes. Wherever he goes, I want to be right in the middle of it. I want to be right smack dab in whatever God is doing. Don't you? See, that's what a hungry person wants. And so that's going to keep you on track with him, keep you on track, keep you in the perfect will of God for your life. Also, hunger will cause you to get back up and get going again if you fall down, if you've messed up, if you've sinned, you've done something wrong. A lot of times people get discouraged with themselves and they just want to quit. But if you're hungry for God, you just can't quit. That appetite just, you know, your spirit just starts growling and starts getting grumpy, you know, and you just can't stay in that backslidden, fallen condition. You got to get back up again, right? Hunger gets you back up again. Hunger gets you going again. That's why we need to be spiritually hungry. Hunger will bring us into the manifested presence of the Holy Spirit. It'll bring us into his presence. When you study revivals, you'll see that throughout history, it was always caused by a group of hungry people. People that were very, very hungry for God, thirsty for God. He fills those who hunger and thirst. Those who hunger and thirst. So to the degree we hunger and thirst for God will be to the degree that we're going to see God come and fill our lives, fill our church, fill our city, fill our land. And we need him desperately. We need him desperately. We need to recognize that we need him desperately. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3 says, "For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring." He says, when you're thirsty, he will pour himself out. We need to hunger and thirst for him. Hunger and thirst for God. Hunger and thirst for him. Hunger for him will lead us into an encounter with him. And we want to have encounters with God, don't we? We want to be enveloped in his glory, enveloped in his presence. But unfortunately, for many, there isn't much of a spiritual appetite. There just isn't much spiritual hunger, generally speaking, throughout the body of Christ. A lot of times, folks just get filled up real quick, you know? You just give them a few verses, couple words, and they're ready. Okay, that was great. Praise God. I did my time. You know, like they're in jail or something. I did my time. And that's how it is when they're at church. That's how it is when they spend time in the Word of God. They did their time. There isn't that hunger, but we need to have that hunger. We need to stir ourselves up for that hunger. We need to increase our appetite. Some people want to know how they can increase their appetite. Well, last week we named a few things. Now, I didn't say them in order, but if you listen to the series, you can hear these seven keys on how to increase your appetite in the message. And so you can always go back and re-listen to the message because all these services are recorded. And so there were seven keys all scattered around in that message that we covered. Do you want me to just give them to you straight up and out? Number one, we grow in hunger by being humble. By being humble. Humility sees its need for more of God. The opposite of humility is pride. And pride is known to puff up. Pride is a spiritual filler. That's what it is. It's a spiritual filler, and it'll make you bloated spiritually. That's right. Make you bloated spirit. It just puffs you up and makes you feel full, even though you're just full of hot air. That's what pride does to people. So in order to be hungry for God, we need to humble ourselves before God. We need to take out the pin of the Word of God and deflate pride. We need to get on our knees. We need to get before God. We need to exalt Him, not ourselves. We need to say, oh God, I need you. I need to hear from you. I'm desperate for your word. I can't figure things out on my own. I can do nothing of myself. This is how Jesus talked all the time. Jesus walked in complete, perfect humility. And He would always be saying, of myself, I can do nothing. Of myself, I can do nothing. It's the Father that does the work. The Father is with me. He was always acknowledging the Father. The Father was with him. The Father was the one helping him. And now, the Father, through Jesus, has given us the Holy Spirit to help us. And we need His help. I said we need to be filled with Him because we need all His help. Now, pride doesn't realize that. Pride says, well, I need God sometimes. You know, I understand that. You get into a crisis, you pull out God. And He helps you through some tough things. No, you need Him for everything. You need it for everything. And so we have to recognize this. We humble ourselves to stir up hunger for God. Number two, remove the things that take the edge off your spiritual hunger to be filled. Remove the things that take the edge off your spiritual hunger. Remember, we talked about snacking. There's all kinds of spiritual snacks people fill themselves up with, and it takes the edge off of their hunger for God. We talked about how religion will provide you with a spiritual snack to help distract you from your spirit's hunger for truth. A lot of folks just fill themselves up with religion, and it's just snacking. It's just full of all kinds of sugary things that really don't nourish them spiritually. Many quench the appetite to achieve something great by snacking on the achievements of a sports idol or sports team. And really, that's quite a revelation right there. Because I've wondered about it. You know, you just see, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like sports. And, you know, when the Super Bowl comes around, I get excited. You know, there's some games that get you excited. But there are people that it's beyond excitement. I mean, it's beyond exciting. And we're not just talking about a few people. We're talking about stadiums and stadiums full of people. We're talking about lots and lots of people. That, I mean, it's like their life depends upon this team winning. How many people know what I'm talking about? That is a severe case of idolatry. Hello, somebody. And what makes a grown man stand up, pull his shirt off, and paint himself in 20-degree weather? I mean, you got some grown men out there, and they're wearing all kinds of costumes. Anyway. Some say, well, I'd never do that. Well, I understand. But nevertheless, people are depending on this game like it is their life, because it is a substitute for their life. For them living the kind of life that in their heart they know they've been called to live and want to live. But instead of just going after God and living it, living that abundant life, they fill their life with the achievements of other people. And I think that's why entertainment is so powerful, so important to people. The movies, television, all the acting that goes on, because people, instead of living the life themselves, they are looking to these fictional characters to live the life for them as a substitute. It's a snack that makes them feel full and satisfied while not living the kind of life that God's called them to live. We need to be full of abundant life. We need to be full of the Spirit of God. And that's going to happen when we stop snacking and start seeking. Stop snacking and get to seeking. Let's go after the greater. Come on. Let's go after the greater. Let's go after the greater and get filled with the plan of God for our life. Number three, repentance. Repenting of sin is another way to get filled spiritually. Again, there's some things that are snacks, and then there are some things that are sins. So we're going to lay aside the snacks, and we're going to repent of the sins. Remember over in Hebrews chapter 12, 1, it says, therefore, laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. See, not everything's a sin, but there can be weights. Not necessarily sins, but weights. You got to lay aside the weights. We're calling them snacks today. Lay aside the snacks. Lay aside the snacks. Lay aside the weights. Lay aside the things that are distracting you from him, from his plan for your life. Lay aside the weight and repent of the sin. Get washed of the sin. Put those things away and you can get filled again and again and again. Sin will put a ceiling on your spiritual appetite. So we got to lay aside the snacks and get out the sin. And we do that how? By confessing, by repenting. Number four, depriving your natural appetite can help make you more aware of your spirit's appetite. Remember, we mentioned fasting. Now, it doesn't always have to just be food either. You could fast whatever it is that takes a lot of your time. How about just taking some time off to spend time with God? Fasts work to spend time with your real provider. Maybe fast some television. I remember, you know, when I was newly saved, television was a big thing for me. And I'd come home from work, and I'm ready to spend time with God, you know. But I'd turn on the TV, and then it had me for the rest of the night. Today it's the computer. Today it's social media. Today it's a whole host of things that people need to fast. Lay aside once in a while. Say, I'm going to put this aside. I'm going to fast this so I can give that time to seeking God. And so for me, I had to pull the plug on my television, literally. I had to pull the plug on it so that I wouldn't turn the thing on and make a commitment that I wouldn't. And oh, man, what a great week that was. I mean, I grew spiritually that week. I got to hear from God that week. I liked it so much, I kept the plug pulled the following week. And just continued to allow my evenings to be spent studying the Word, listening to teaching on the Word, filling myself up with the things of God. I didn't miss out on anything. I got filled up. I got blessed. And it helped me. It helped me grow spiritually, and it helped me to go further into the plan of God for my life. So sometimes you just got to hit the brakes and do something radical. You know? Just cut off something that's feeding you naturally, intellectually, emotionally, whatever. Physically, cut that off so you can spend time to feed yourself spiritually. You got to watch it, though. You might get addicted because you're going to enjoy the results. You're going to enjoy the results. Number five, put your soul into spiritual things. Get enthused about spiritual things. You know, people get themselves pumped up. People get themselves psyched up for a lot of things. You know, sports, obviously. But when people go to do something, they get themselves stirred up. They get to talking about it. They get themselves excited. There's some emotion involved in it. But when they come to church, I'm here. When it comes to reading the word, when it comes to prayer, especially speaking in tongues, shata mata, shata mata, shata mata, shata mata, shata mata. That's not really speaking in tongues. It's a poor illustration. Shata mata, shata mata. I mean, no emotion. How about shata rababa, satare mama soto? That was speaking in tongues. Put some emotion into it. Put some passion into it. Let your soul express what's in your spirit. Don't just keep the spiritual spiritual. Get the soul in there. Let it become emotional. Not every emotional person is spiritual, but every truly spiritual person is emotional. We're not dominated by our emotions. We're not led by our emotions like most of the people in the world. We're led by our spirit, but we are emotional about our spirituality, about our God. Woo, hallelujah. And I just think I'll release some right now. Woo, hallelujah. Why don't you go ahead and do it with me? Praise God. It'll be good for you. Ha, ha. Yes, yes. Go ahead. Why not? Go ahead. Praise God. Number six. Stretch your appetite by not quitting on the word when the service ends. Stretch it a little bit further. Sometimes when the service ends, their appetite's done. We're done for the day. I've eaten my spiritual meal. I'm done. How about just stretch it a little further, like when you get out the door? Just stretch it. Let's that love walk. Just take it a little bit further. Amen. Just stretch it. Stretch yourselves spiritually. Talk the word. Keep it going for a while. A lot of times, people, after hearing the word of God, you know, they forget it shortly after. Shortly after, they get all of a sudden they're entangled with everything else, and they so quickly forget about what they just heard. But we want to stretch our appetite. And then, number seven, ask God to give you a greater hunger for him. Ask him, because it comes from him. How many people know all things come from God? Jesus said, nobody comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. Nobody comes to me unless the Father draws them. So the drawing of the Father is spiritual hunger. So the Father has to put the hunger in us. I mean, that's how desperately we need him, folks. Lord, make me hungry. Make me hungry. Why don't you pray that right now? Ask him. Make me hungry. Yeah, make me hungry. And when you're hungry for him, it'll push you past wherever you've been before. It'll push you further. It'll drive you further on into the things of God, in the plan of God for your life. But he's got to give it to you, so you got to cry out to him for it. Ask him for it. So those are the seven things. Now, I want to parallel the way people are told to increase their natural appetite with the way we can increase our spiritual appetite. You know, there's a certain way, you know, people will tell you how to increase your natural appetite. There's things you can do to increase your physical appetite. Some people think, I don't want to increase my physical appetite. I understand, but some people do. Some people are underweight. Some people want to put on some weight, all right? And so there's ways that they do that. Well, it parallels with how we spiritually can put on weight, all right? So I'm going to give you seven more things. Can you handle seven more things to increase your hunger? All right, there'll be a test on all these things, by the way. You're all going to be tested on this, so I'd pay really good attention. Number one, they tell us that if you want to increase your weight physically, that you need to start eating small meals more frequently. Eat small meals more frequently. Have five or six smaller meals per day instead of three large ones. You know, people talk about eating, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They say, well, if you want to increase your appetite, you know, spread it out a little bit more and have five, six small small meals throughout the day, and then you can slowly add to that and increase your appetite or your hunger to eat more. Well, what's the spiritual counterpart for this? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In other words, not just in the morning and before you go to bed at night. Man, I get up in the morning and I'll do something really quick and spend some time with God. And then before I go to bed at night, you know, I try to use as much as I can of the things of God, the Word of God, before going to bed. You know, I'll pray maybe before I go to bed, something like that. Well, that's nice. But if you want to increase your spiritual hunger, start acknowledging him throughout the day. Small little meals. Small little meals. Just acknowledging him. Praying to him. We're not talking about, oh, God, I'm going to spend an hour in prayer. That's great. Thank God for the hour in prayer. I think you should do that. I think that's wonderful. Spend an hour in prayer, morning, whenever you do it. In the middle of the night, whenever you like to get alone, pray with God, need to do it. That's wonderful. Nevertheless, he also hears the little ones here and there throughout the day. And the acknowledging him, his word, speaking his word throughout the day. Why not just have yourself a word break, you know, throughout the day? Just take different word breaks. Not just one lunch break, but, you know, just throughout the day. As you're going, just pull out your Bible, put it on your phone, whatever you do, wherever you find the Bible on the internet or whatever, or just declare it out of your lips. And we're not talking about spending a lot of time, we're just talking about acknowledging him. Acknowledging him, and he's going to direct your path. He's going to keep you filled. He's going to keep you filled. So just keep eating throughout the day. Little small bits. See, some people think unless they're spending, you know, unless they just close the door, get on their knees, get away from everybody, you know, they're not praying. They're not spending time with God. No, you could spend time with God in your car. You could spend time with God at work. You could spend time with God all throughout your day. Acknowledging him, recognizing him, praising him, giving him glory. Come on, somebody. And a lot of people don't do that. Because honestly, if we were praising God, you know, like the song goes, let my mouth be filled with your praise, singing all day long. You know, singing all day long, praising him. You know, when we come together to praise him, oh, that's just a continuation. You know, it's not like we have to crank this thing up, you know. Come on, church. Lift your voices to him. Right? You know what I'm talking about. See, that's an indication we're not living in a continual place of praise and worshiping God. But that's where we want to be. So let's stir that up continuously. Praising him, acknowledging him, speaking his word, praying to him, talking to him. Acknowledge him in how many ways? In all our ways. Number two. They say to increase your appetite in the natural, you need to eat nutrient-rich foods. Nutrient-rich foods. People with poor appetites tend to eat empty calories like candy, chips, ice cream, and baked goods. Although this may increase the munchies, it does not increase your appetite for healthy food, all right? So we don't want to just fill ourselves with empty calories. We want to have some things with protein and fats, good fats, and whole grains, right? Now, we can get off on this in the natural because some of you could probably use a lot of help in this. Some of the processed nonsense that people buy in the store, I can't even believe it, they call that a meal. You just peel the thing back, and there's every kind of preservative. There's every kind of color. There's every kind of thing in there that's not good for your body. And they sell it to people. And, you know, I was actually amazed. It was just the other day. I don't know. It just kind of jumped out at me. I went to, ran into this super gas station mart type place just to get something. And I just noticed that, I mean, the place, they had some fruits and vegetables over here, but the place was full and stacked with cookies and Doritos and all these baked things that are, I mean, you know, processed and in these boxes. And, I mean, you could just see, I mean, just a lot of unhealthy stuff. And I'm thinking, now they wouldn't be ordering these things unless people were consuming them. And they had a lot. They were stacked and stocked. They were stocked full of these things. So people are stuffing things in their body, and I don't want to get off of that, but people are stuffing things in their body. They're not reading labels. And you got to read labels because there's a lot of deceptive food out there. So you want to put things in your body that are nutritious. Well, what's the spiritual counterpart to that? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith. Notice that. Nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. See, we want to be nourished in the faith. We want good doctrine, good teaching. That's what we want. We don't want to just have itchy ears where we're filling ourselves with all kinds of things that sound spiritual and nice, but it's not really building our faith for anything. We need to build our faith. We need to be nourished in the Word of God. So we need to be looking for quality food. Look for quality food. Look for the quality in the Word of God. We want the Word of God. We want the quality food of the Word of God. Bad teaching has caused many Christians to lose their appetite for good teaching, even to the point where they hate good teaching. They hate it. Just like, you know, these kids that are raised on junk food. They grow up and they hate green beans. They hate certain vegetables. Anytime you put something in front of them that's good for them, they hate it. They hate it. Like it's going to jump at them and bite them or something. Like it's poison. Almost scares them. You ever see people react that way? Some of you are really looking at me hard this morning. Maybe you know somebody. But people are so used to, they're so accustomed to junk food that they actually almost repulsed at what it might taste like, that thing that they're saying is healthy and good for them. Spiritually, it's the same way. It's amazing how many people get offended at the good word of God, and they hate the truth. And I'm talking about Christians, because they've been so filled with spiritual junk food, false doctrine, wrong teaching. They've been so poorly taught that when the good word of God is presented to them, they have no appetite for it. And they reject it. So we want to make sure that we're eating on good things, and that's going to build our appetite for good things, for more of God. And that's what this is all about. We want to build our appetite. Can you say amen? Amen. Number three, make mealtime an enjoyable social activity. I'm getting this from the professionals. How do you increase your physical appetite? Make mealtime an enjoyable, sociable activity. Eating a meal with others may help stimulate your appetite more than eating alone. In fact, a study showed that eating with friends can increase food intake by 18%. People get around friends and they're socializing, and you just keep going, you know what I'm saying? You know, you're excited, you're stirred up, you know, you're not just focusing maybe on the food, you're just taking it all in, you know, the experience. Just eating it all up, you know. Well, it's important to do that. If you want to increase your appetite, socialize. Now, that doesn't mean if you want to decrease your appetite, to stay away from everybody. That's not what we're saying. What's the spiritual counterpart? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Consider one another, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. Man, we need to get around each other and fellowship. That's why church fellowship is so important. Coming to church and not remaining isolated, but connecting yourself with a body of believers will increase your spiritual appetite. It'll get you more hungry. Staying isolated, withdrawn, and into yourself won't do very much. You're not enjoying the experience. You got to enjoy our time together, right? And then, of course, even when you're alone with God, you're not alone because you're with God, right? So, you know, you're not just reading the Bible by yourself. You're not studying the Word by yourself. It's you and the Holy Ghost. Come on, Spirit of God is there with you. You got angels with you. This is a real living experience. Hallelujah. So enjoy the social time with the Holy Spirit. Enjoy that social time with God. Make it enjoyable. Make spending time in the Word enjoyable by recognizing you're not alone. This isn't just about you. This is you and God. You got an audience with Him. Can you say amen? And so if you make it fun, it's going to be great. Church is like a restaurant and a culinary school that teaches you how to make great foods. I hope you're getting it today. I hope some of you should be writing down the recipes. We'll get to that. Number four. We're increasing what they say to do to increase physical hunger. Is schedule mealtimes. Schedule mealtimes. Hunger usually cues people to eat. However, if you do not get hungry, you might not be able to rely on your appetite to remind you when to eat. That makes sense, doesn't it? So having a regular meal schedule is important for stimulating your appetite. Because again, you're just waiting to be hungry before you read the Word. You might never read the Word. See what I'm saying? So you've got to set the time. So whether I feel hungry or not, whether I feel thirsty or not, I'm going to go drink and I'm going to go eat. I'm going to get with God. And here's what I'm going to do it. Right? Because we don't find time for the things of God. We make time for the things of God. We make time, just like we make time for so many things in life. We make time for God. Make time to be with Him. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. The ninth hour. Notice that. At the hour of prayer. There was a designated time that people, folks, came to the temple and prayed. And it was at that hour that they went and prayed. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. So notice, he had set times throughout the course of his day where he got alone with God. He knelt down, he prayed, and he'd been doing it. Now he's an old man. He's been doing this since he was a kid. That's why he became such a great man of faith. See, how did Daniel become such a great man of faith? Well, God in his sovereignty chose him as one of the lucky ones and put his spirit upon him and made him a great prophet. No. He did something. He pressed in to God. He set boundaries around his life where he wouldn't get away from God, where he wouldn't violate his conscience. He had set certain things up ahead of time and said, this is what we're going to do. This is when we're going to do it. And he lived by that. His life was structured. Today we have a lot of Christians running around going, that's legalistic. I like to be led when to pray. And they're so led that they're like lead. They're just dead. They're as dead as lead. They're so led. I like that. I tweet that today. Some Christians are so led that they're as dead as lead. They're not going anywhere. They're not moving. Nobody can even move them. Why? Because there's no structure. There's no structure. There is a predictability to our lives. If we're going to live the God kind of life, then not everything's spontaneous and unpredictable. It's got to be organized. It's got to be structured. And God will show you a lot of things ahead of time, right? Didn't it say the Holy Spirit will show you things to come? Well, he'll show you things to come. He'll help get you organized. He'll help you plan your day. He'll plan your week, plan your life. He'll give you the plan, and then you just walk out the plan, and that's being led by God by looking at your day timer and saying, that's where I'm doing that. God showed me I need to get this done, and it's all written down. It's all recorded. And that's being spiritual. See, a lot of people have this weird idea about spirituality, that there's no structure. It's like a mist. We just kind of float through life like angels. We just flow through life. Well, I don't think angels are like that. I don't think they're weird. But anyway, Daniel set time to spend with God, and so should you. If you want to be used of God, if you want to become mighty, if you want to have great faith like Daniel, where they take you, throw you in a lion's den, and you go, sit down. Wouldn't that be nice? Why did God do that for Daniel? Because he had faith. God did the same thing for you if you had the same faith. Where do you get that same faith? Be structured. Having a structured life to spend time with God is going to cause you to grow in faith consistently. You won't be an up and down Christian. We don't want to be yo-yo Christians, and we don't want to be roller coaster Christians. We want to be steadfast. So God will help us to be that way. And we can be just like Daniel. We can have what Daniel had. We can do what Daniel did. He just did what he did by faith. And how did he have that faith? Because we see right here what his custom was, what he did on a daily basis. We could do the same thing. But will you discipline yourself to have that? That's really what it comes down to. It's not, God, will you? No, it's will you discipline yourself to have that? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Somebody said, yes, Lord. I will discipline myself to have great faith, just like Daniel. Hallelujah. All right, number five. Don't skip breakfast. Talking about increasing your appetite. Don't skip breakfast. A review study showed that skipping breakfast can lead you to eat less throughout the day, which is the opposite of what you want. You miss breakfast, the next thing you know, they did a study on it. People who miss breakfast, they end up eating less throughout the day. Furthermore, breakfast helps increase the body's thermogenesis effect, making you burn more calories throughout the day, which then increases your appetite. You got to burn up. What's the spiritual counterpart to this? Psalm 63, verse 1. Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Notice what he said there. You are my God. Early will I seek you. Early will I seek you. You know, Jesus, you see him many times getting up early. Before the sun came up, he's out there seeking God, being with the Father. So the first thing, what we do first thing is very important. What we do the first thing that starts our day is very important. So we should make it a point to set our alarm a little bit earlier so we can make sure we're spending some time with him. Before we talk to anybody else and do anything else, let's seek him. Let's fill ourselves up with him. I found in the morning, I don't want that time really distracted and disturbed by conversation with other people because I feel the most quiet on the inside. You know, you've been just lying quiet all night. The flesh is quiet. It's a great time to be able to fellowship with God. I want him to get the first fruits of my day. And that'll set you up. That'll get your faith stimulated for the rest of the day. As long as you don't go out of your time with him in the morning thinking that, well, that's it. I spent my time with him. Now I'm done. No, you've only just begun. Now, little meals throughout the day. Little meals throughout the day, but don't miss breakfast. All right, you ready for the next one? Exercise more. Physical activity can make you burn more calories and stimulate your appetite by increasing metabolic rate and hormone production. So you want to work out more, they say. You got to exercise. One study put 12 people through 16 days of continuous training. After this period, they burned 835 extra calories a day on average. Additionally, they increased their food intake and were able to replenish 30% of the calories they had burned during exercise. Notice that. They increased their food intake. How many people want to increase your word intake? Increase your being filled with the Spirit of God. How many want to increase that? I mean, I want to be full and overflowing and full and overflowing. I want to increase my intake. Well, exercise. Exercise spiritually. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 talks about exercising self-control. Exercising self-control. Exercising self-control. That's exercise. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says this, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. See, a lot of folks don't have much of an appetite because they're not exercising themselves towards godliness. You can't just eat the word, you got to burn it. You got to do it. You got to be a doer of the word of God, and you got to get out there and exercise. Get excited when you get around ungodliness. Stop being intimidated by it and start looking at it like, okay, now we can exercise. Best way to exercise godliness is to get around ungodliness. Now, I'm not telling you to get around ungodliness deliberately. That wouldn't be exercising godliness. But you know in the world, you're going to have tribulation because you're surrounded by godless people. You're surrounded by a lot of things that are contrary to God. True? People talk contrary to God. There's all kinds of things flying around. Ungodly things that are flying around you all the time. But every time you resist, you just exercised. Now, if you give in and be a partaker of it, then you didn't exercise. And you just turned the word that you received into fat. That's all it did. And now you're just a flabby Christian, not a faith Christian. See, if you want faith, you have to exercise the word that you put in. You can't just put the word in and say, faith comes by hearing the word. Well, the potential of great faith comes by hearing the word of God, but it's in doing the word of God you actually build your faith. So you're hearing the word, but if you're just hearing the word and you're not exercising yourself to godliness, then the word produces flab instead of faith in your spirit. I don't want to be a flabby, faithless Christian. Do you? Come on, somebody. I want faith. I want faith muscles, don't you? How do you get them? Exercise. Resistance training. Resistance training. Get out there and do some resistance training. Resist the devil. Praise God, it'll make you stronger. Pastor, I just want to get a job in the Christian bookstore where nobody bothers me. Flabby. You don't want to be flabby. You want to get out there and work out there in society. We're not going to have a little village where we come together and hide from the rest of the world. I mean, there's all kinds of groups that have done that. Christian groups, that's what they ended up doing. They separate themselves from the rest of the world. They're trying to hide from everybody. Rather than going out there and engaging the ungodly with the word of God and with the presence of God, resisting the evil, resisting the temptations so that they get stronger and stronger and stronger. So understand this. Reading the word is so important. Getting nourished in the word. What we're doing right now is spiritual. But when you're out there among the ungodliness and you're resisting and you're turning the other way and you're not giving into stuff, that's just as spiritual as sitting here getting nourished in the word. Now you're exercising. And you got to have them both. You got to be nourishing yourself and exercising yourself spiritually. It's a spiritual thing when you go out there and get around along God. And it feels horrible because you don't feel God. What you feel adversity, you feel ungodliness, you feel all this dirt flying around, right? Breathing all this dust in, all this dust, spiritually speaking. I mean, you got all this stuff. Your feet are getting dirty with your contact with the world. You got all this stuff going on. But nevertheless, you know in your heart, this is a good place to be. Because I'm set apart from it, even though I'm right in the middle of it. Because I'm not giving in to it. I'm not yielding to it. I'm not a partaker of it. I'm resisting it as I walk through it. And I'm getting stronger. That's how you get stronger. Can you say amen? Don't you want to get stronger? Yes, and it will also increase your appetite, as we see here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It says, for bodily exercise profits, we'll just hold it there for a minute, a little, it does profit, but in comparisons to godliness, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So, bodily exercise is profitable, but it's little compared to godliness. That is some serious working out right there when you're exercising yourself to godliness. Can you say amen? And then number seven, keep a food diary. We're talking about how to increase your appetite. Keep a food diary. Keeping a food diary can help you track your food intake and promote better eating habits and appetite. So, you know, they're saying, well, keep track of what you're eating, you know, and you can go back and look and see how you've progressed, da, da, da. Well, taking notes. God gives you a revelation. Write it down. I'm amazed, you know. God will tell me something. I've learned. Believe me, I've learned. Because so many times I've lost things that he's given me. He'll say something to me. It'll be so real to me. It'll be like somebody just, I mean, it's like, there's no way you think in the world you can forget it. Because it's just so clear to your whole mind, your whole being just lights up with this revelation. I'm like, glory to God. That is so good. And this thought comes, write it down. I'm like, oh, okay. I'd never forget this. And I just start talking to the Lord. And then I go, and I want to go back to that. And I'm talking minutes later. I can't even get back to it. I'm like, where'd it go? Because it's spiritual. And it was in a place where I was spiritually. Now I'm moving on. And I'm moving on to other things. And now I can't even see it. Because it's not just a memory thing. It's something of the heart. So in order to be able to get my mind to be able to pull it back up again, write it down. Taking notes is a great thing. Well, is there any scripture for that? Sure. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. He's watching for what God's going to say to him and what I'll answer when I'm corrected. Isn't that interesting? When God speaks, he usually does correct. There's always some adjusting when God speaks to us. That's a good thing. Verse 2, then the Lord answered. Praise God, he's going to get some things from the Lord right now. He's been waiting for this. He's looking for a word from God. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. And it will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry, will not delay. When it's time, there's going to be no delay. But he says, you need to write it down. I'm going to give you something right now, but you need to write it down because you're going to need it later. Now, it isn't for right now as much as it is for later. But so write it down so you have it later. Write the vision down. Write the revelation down, because a revelation really is a mini vision from God. When you receive revelation from him, it's a vision. He's spoken to your heart. He's lit something up. He's shown you something in the spirit. So write it down. God says, write it down. Write things down. When God speaks to you, write it down. And then this is so you could go back. And again, going back, looking at your notes, re-looking at and reliving the things that God has shown you, God has spoken to you, the things that you got when you're fellowship with him. It's amazing, you know. Of course, you get so much stuff. I don't know if I could ever go back to it all. But, you know, there's things that you journal and things you look at. And sometimes, you know, I go back, I look, I go, wow. I mean, I totally forgot about that. Wow, and that was such a big deal, what God showed me there. And so it's just good to go back and, just re-snack yourself on the good word of God, right? Go back and fill yourself up on those things that he has spoken to you. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God for heaven. Besides that, if you write it down, it's like writing down a recipe so that you can recook this thing. You might want to recook what you heard today. You might want to remake it. You know, rethink it. Look at it again. Stir it up. Man, that was good Sunday, man. Man, oh man, oh man. Praise God. I'm going to add a couple little extra things to it too. Praise God. You can even add to it. As long as it's the word. But you can add to it. I give you permission. I'm going to give the recipe away on how to increase your spiritual hunger. That's a recipe I give away to you today, and I give you the permission. You can redistribute it to others. You can put it in a book and sell it, and you can add to it any kind of spices and herbs that you want to add to it. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God forever. Well, do you want me to rerun through them again? I thought so. Number one. Eat small meals more frequently. Acknowledge God in all your ways. Number two, eat nutrient-rich foods. Be nourished in the words of faith. Number three, make mealtime an enjoyable, sociable activity. Consider one another. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. How many of you know it's so much easier to pray when other people are praying? You know, it just is, you know. You pray on your own, you're praying with God's grace, but you know, you come to like United Prayer on Tuesday night and other people are praying, and it just, I don't know, it's just, you could pray a lot harder, a lot faster, a lot louder because you have other people around you praying with you. So schedule your meal times. That's the next one. Schedule your meal times. Number five, don't skip breakfast. Oh God, you are my God, early I will seek you. Exercise more. Exercise self-control. Exercise yourselves to godliness. Keep a food diary. Write the vision down. Write down what God has given you. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God forever. Having people getting stirred up to stir up their appetite for more of him. We need to do it. If we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to stay in the perfect plan of God for our life, if we're going to stay focused, stay on track, if we're going to have the motivation to get back up after we may have fallen and messed up, if we're going to be able to do that, then we're going to need spiritual hunger, and this is how we get it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord this morning. Glory to God forever.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.